Your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
I appreciate you joining me on this super-sized three-hour episode of What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. We are going to continue to remember the legacy of local philanthropist and visionary Donald Baumgartner, as Milwaukee Ballet Artistic Director Michael Pink will join me just after the 8 o'clock news to share his perspective on the positive impact that Donald Baumgartner has made on our cultural community with the news of him passing away over the weekend. But really, much of this episode is going to be a guide to help you make the most of Summer Gallery Night MKE. It's coming up already Friday night and Saturday during the day. And you know this happens once a quarter. 40 galleries and venues across Milwaukee neighborhoods are participating. So you really can choose your own adventure. You can gallery hop, visit as many creative spaces as possible if you feel like that, or just linger and get to know the artists in one or two spots. Absolutely free. It's as social as you wanted it to be. And you may make a discovery of an artwork that you love or a new neighborhood spot that you haven't been to yet. We have a wide variety of Wisconsin artists and really artists from around the country and around the world showing their creativity right here. And Gallery Night MKE is a way to roll. If you want to check out the website, it's interactive. You can see things on the map, and there's descriptions of the different exhibitions that are going on. The website is gallerynightmke.com. Very interactive. And you can see the full list of artists and locations around historic Third Ward, Easttown, Walker's Point, and even extending to Marquette University's Hagerty Museum of Art and the House of Rad. But we are going to start right now. I'm very excited with my in-studio guest. Welcome to What's on Tap. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, Sandy. I'm Tony Nichols. My gallery is Aqua and Guvu Gallery and Studios in the Marshall Building. Marshall Building is a great site for gallery night because we have a number of galleries, plus there are a lot of studios in the building as well, and the artist just opened for gallery night. You can go and see where a particular artist is working.
Where that creative process happens.
Yes.
How many floors to the Marshall Building?
There's a basement and six floors.
Yeah, seven full floors. And what floor is your gallery on?
I'm on the first floor. You see me as you walk in the building. I'm there, and part of my job is to tell people, go up to the other floors as well.
When I was just going to say, you're the greeter. You're the host. Yes. With the most, Tony.
Yes.
This is, I love it. So say the name of your gallery again.
It's Aquai and Guvu, which is Latin and Swahili. Aquai is, the Latin is aqua, water. Aquai is the declines, and that means of water. And Guvu is Swahili for spirit. So it's water spirit.
What a thoughtful name.
Very Milwaukee, you know, our three rivers, water's important here.
Tony, that is so inspired. How did you come to land on that? Because I hear that you may not, based on your accent, you may not be from Wisconsin. You might have worldly travels in your background.
I've been here 17 years. I'm really glad to be in Milwaukee in a small city. I lived in rural Pennsylvania for a good number of years. Which was great, but I'm glad to be back in a city because I grew up in London,
and
I'm a city person at heart.
But so this would be a good balance between the New Yorkness of London and really big city and rural Pennsylvania. You've got the combination.
I'm a big proponent of Milwaukee. It's great here. I live in the Third Ward. I can walk around. There's so much to do. And if we want really big city stuff, we go to Chicago for the day or overnight, and There's great museums there as well.
Yes. Okay. So I really want to get into this is called a conversation. It's great. The exhibition that you have is very meaningful and explores dementia and coping with dementia. So we will talk about the exhibitions that you have on display for gallery night, but it is making me very curious. Like, you're wonderfully happy to be here in Milwaukee. What is it about Milwaukee that attracted you to this art community?
I'm a chemist by training. I met a gallerist 13, 14 years ago, started helping with gallery work and been doing it ever since. I opened my own space 4.5 years ago. I find the art community here very supportive, and I'm a big proponent of interaction of different arts.
It's interesting that you say that because I also host on Milwaukee PBS a show called The Arts Page, which will feature different artists. And I thought for sure, because I've lived in Chicago twice, there was going to be some elbow swinging, like, oh, have you talked to that artist? Oh, you know, like a little down your nose. But every single artist I have ever interviewed has said, if you like what I'm doing, have you met this fabric artist? Have you met this musician? Have you met... Everyone wants you to meet somebody else who's doing something cool and inspiring in our Wisconsin space.
Yes.
I'm glad that's been your experience as well, Tony. Yes.
Yeah. This show started for me a year ago. Cindy Hansen, who's a photographer, she had a parent who suffered from dementia, and she made this whole series. I think there's 13 pieces about dementia. Certain amount of humor in there, but really presenting the challenges of taking care of somebody with dementia.
But I think a lot of people can relate to and are looking for that connection, for someone else to understand.
Yes, yeah. That followed, I met Tracy Nikolaus, whose paintings I have as well, and I combined the two, the paintings of Tracy and the photography. Tracy has only recently come to acrylic. Last 2.5 years, she was a mentee in the MARN program, the Milwaukee Arts Resource Network. I happened to have her mentor in a show in one of my spaces and met Tracy, saw her painting and went and did a studio visit. I'm really impressed with her work and said, yeah, this will combine well with Cindy's photography. They both have had parents who suffer from dementia, and it's their art is about that experience.
We'll discuss this more. Seeing Dementia, Chasing Moments is what is on display at Tony Nichols, say it again,
Akwa Nguvu.
Akwa Nguvu Gallery inside the Marshall Building. By the time we're finished, Akwa Nguvu will be, it just flowed right there.
Yeah.
I've learned Latin and Swahili all at once. We're expanding our horizons, but the Akwa Nguvu Gallery is just one of the stops you can make on gallery night inside the Marshall Building right there at Water and Buffalo Streets. And we'll continue this creative conversation with gallery owner Tony Nichols and explore more about Seeing Dementia, Chasing Moments next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Welcome back to this gallery night preview coming up Friday night and Saturday during the day in the historic Third Ward, Easttown, also Walker's Point, Gallery Night MKE. You will be surprised if you go to gallerynightmke.com at just how many spaces you can go to. It's 40 right now, and helping you figure out where you want to spend some time, because you can gallery hop and you can meet a whole lot of creative people and artists and gallery owners. And one of those gallery owners is in the studio with me, Tony Nichols from the Akwa Nguvu Gallery. Look at that. I told you I get it, but what a memorable name for a gallery. And you're right there on the first floor in the Marshall Building, greeting everyone, saying, welcome to Gallery Night. Won't you explore all the floors of the Marshall Building, but please step inside the Akwa Nguvu Gallery, because what is the exhibition you have?
This show is about dementia. And it's one of the things I consider my job as a gallerist is to greet people, but to see people coming in. Some people, obviously, they know how to look at art. They know what they want to see. Some other people are less certain. And part of my job is just to say a few words to let people enter into the show, to look at the work and see it and see what the artists might be conveying with their work. And these two artists have both had, as I say, parents with dementia, and it comes out in their art. Tracy's paintings are amazing. She's painting old people, which not many artists do these days. And her ability to capture a level of just blankness and just not being there has amazed me. I saw the work in a studio. I curated the show on the wall. Then I started really looking at this work, and she has captured expressions. I've had a number of people who've come into the gallery already and they've cried because they've looked at these and just related to, I know that person kind of, or that type of person, and just this effect. We're human beings. This is part of the human condition, dementia. We need to give it more prominence, understand it, and realize that life isn't just a shooting always upwards, but there's a big arc to life. One piece that Cindy has is called Mothering Mother, that she's holding her mother in her arms because she now has to be the mother.
That's a really powerful title. So Cindy Hansen's photography combined with Tracy Keller Nicholas's paintings are what are creating the Seeing Dementia, Chasing Moments title. Did you come up with that title for this exhibition?
No, but both the titles are from the two artists.
Oh.
I'm the one that combined them together, and it just makes a great show.
It fits.
They talk to each other, and it's, yeah.
So have Tracy Keller Nicholas and Cindy Hansen met each other yet?
Yes, they have, but they didn't know each other before this, but they've met, and it's,
How do you think art can help us understand dementia or process that aspect of life?
I think that, that's a good question, Sandy. Every day I go into the gallery, I get it. This is serious work. It speaks to me and makes me think about, what does that mean? Cindy is very playful in her photography. It's a very serious subject, but she brings humor to it. She's a bit like Cindy Sherman. She poses in her pictures. She sets up the whole image and, as I say, has a certain amount of humor in there.
What do you hope people leave the gallery if they stop by for a little bit or stop by for a long time? What do you hope people walk away from Seeing Dementia, Chasing Moments feeling or talking about?
I don't want to tell people what to think about art.
I think that's a great answer.
Decide what you see there.
Let the interpretation be.
Yeah.
How many times have you asked a musician, hey, what does that song mean? And that's often the answer you get. It's like, I wrote it for me, but it's what you take out of it, what you take away is what's important.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
You mentioned some people have wept. What have been some of the other reactions of people who've come to the gallery and seen these portraits that Tracy Keller Nicholas has painted?
I had people from the Milwaukee Art Museum come in and say, yeah, this is a significant show. We want people to see it. So I would really encourage, come and see it. It's an important social topic.
It really is. And it's so meaningful. And as you mentioned, portraits of older people, it's not typical. It's not usually seen. And how are older people portrayed? And this is a serious facet of life that millions of people experience themselves, but even more millions of people are caregivers and are loved ones. And like you mentioned, Cindy's photography, Mothering Mother, I think so many people can relate to that title, but just to see an image that might evoke a different emotion where, oh, someone else gets it and I can experience the humor, the exasperation. Some people have levels of guilt because they feel frustrated, to have yet another outlet, not just feel like you're alone, and to see these paintings and see these photographs, I think that's very meaningful.
Yeah, I didn't realize it at the time when I was curating the show, but I put three pictures that Tracy had painted of her mother, and they were a progression. The last one is called Nonverbal. The person in the painting is looking away. The title is saying, yeah, they're not communicating, and that's the reality of advanced dementia, and when it's apparent how much of a struggle that is to deal with
the evolution of that loss and the journey. So I think that's why I wanted you to be here, Tony, because I really think that this is one of the most unique exhibitions that is going to be on display on gallery night. And how long is the exhibition up? If somebody's like, I really want to see this, but I can't get there on Friday.
It's up to the beginning of August.
So there's some time to see it. And we will give you a more, go ahead.
And in fact, the artists probably will both be there, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, later in July, both artists will be in the gallery in the afternoon.
On July 25th?
Yes, that's the right
one of those on that Saturday.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And see, I think that's magic, to be able to talk to the artist and get even deeper on their motivations and inspirations and why they want to continue a legacy for those loved ones in this way. Tony Nichols, owner of the Akwe Nguvu Gallery, first floor of the Marshall Building. Visit him on Gallery Night. We will continue this creative conversation and find out what else you have planned for the gallery next on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Gallery Night MKE, the summer version, is upon us on Friday evening and Saturday during the day. And in the studio with me is, say it for me, Tony.
Tony Nichols from Akwe Nguvu.
Akwe Nguvu. That's where I want to say Akwe because it's so Latin spelled. Akwe Nguvu, but Akwe Nguvu, gallery owner. Tony Nichols is with me. Doors are open for you right now at the gallery with a wonderful, meaningful exhibition. The title is?
It has two titles, Seeing Dementia and Chasing Moments, but they both are by artists. And I love this, that artists nearly always do things that relate to things they know and understand. These two artists had parents who had dementia, and it comes out in their art. So that's really exciting to me to see that.
And in a different subject that isn't always explored through art. So I think you're doing a great service to the community by showcasing these paintings and photographs to help people feel less alone and to help create that conversation.
Yes, yeah. It's what I try and achieve with the gallery. We were talking earlier saying that I will be having a show of Eugene Donner's work. He's an artist that went to the Layton School in the 1950s here in Milwaukee, spent his career out in California. I now have 230 pieces of his work stored, and I'll be doing a show of some of his work starting in September.
What's his name?
Eugene Donner.
That's a name that we should all know. I mean, what history to have studied at the Layton School. So thank you for bringing him to your gallery walls in September. But until then, visit Tony at the Akwe Nguvu Gallery, first floor of the Marshall Building on Friday night. And what's one of your favorite experiences since you've had the gallery now for almost 5 years of Gallery Night? A story that you like?
I just like talking to people and getting people to see art. That's what I see as exciting.
Again, more connections.
Stuff that's meaningful. Yeah, I always say I'm not interested in putting pretty pictures on the wall. I want to put work that artists have some meaning in, whether it's obvious what that meaning is or not.
What's the best way to keep up with all things at your gallery?
Instagram, or come in and see me and talk to me.
It's a welcoming invitation. Thank you very much. He is Tony Nichols from the Akwe Nguvu Gallery in the Marshall Building at Buffalo and Water. Happy Gallery Night to you. Thanks for all that you're doing in our art community.
Well, thank you for having me on here, Sam.
Absolutely, my pleasure. I look forward to seeing you again. We have more Gallery Night previews and your chance to be the mayor of the Champagne of Beers. That's coming up after we check in with the WTMJ Breaking News Center. With updates, here is Jen Gregg.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
1, 2, 3, ha!
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. If you hear that music, that was a song off of a very unique album, Miller High Life. You remember last year, I was over the moon, no pun intended, with the lady on the moon. It was a beer-infused vinyl record called Dive Bar Sounds. That was one of the songs. And when I say beer-infused, clear vinyl with truly beer inside of it. I made a social media video. I absolutely loved it. Miller High Life was nice. They sent me one to hold and enjoy, but I had to send it back. I couldn't keep it. But being just such a vinyl junkie, a music fan like me, it was very, very fun to have my hands on that. And Miller High Life's pretty much known for doing some kooky promotions, and they have a new one buttoned up. But think about how long Miller High Life has been in our pop culture for years. I found this 1970 commercial.
There's one beer that stands out among the hundreds of beers that look alike in their brown and green bottles. That's Miller High Life in its clear, clean bottle. Because Miller makes it right, every glass of Miller High Life is always refreshing, satisfying, and really deep down good. Ask the man for Miller. For well over 115 years, it's been called the champagne of beers.
Very elegant. You can tell by his delivery. But I just was like, man, 1970, we really have been living the high life for a while, the champagne of beers. So I want to remind you some of the amusing collectibles that they have put out over the years. But then I also want to tell you what they just announced today. So among the fun things that Miller High Life has done as early as just a few months ago, they auctioned off a fully functioning music, a jukebox, a Crosley jukebox that dispensed beer out of a keg. But the cool thing was that they auctioned it off. They spent a week getting bids. It auctioned off, that juke keg auctioned off for $13,600, and it all benefited the Wisconsin area music industry. Whammy. So supporting local music right here. The other things that they've done, I remember this, Dive Barfume. They created a fragrance, a limited edition fragrance that sold out immediately. I was bummed because I wanted to smell it, even though it's described as cedarwood, tobacco, leather, sea salt, French fries, and freshly opened Miller High Life. That'll get the guys and gals coming to you. But they also had some fun at Christmas a few years ago. Merry Highlight in 2023 was a glowing neon Christmas tree decorated in classic Miller High Life style, and even had its own scent to smell like a dive bar. That was for their 120th anniversary. And before that, they did a leg lamp beer tower. So, you know, the Christmas Story, the famous leg lamp in that film. Well, this one had also a beer dispenser as part of it and held an entire six pack. And they also did a gingerbread dive bar kit with peppermint bar stools and little pretzel stick bar pool cues. So they have had a lot of fun in the Miller High Life creative department coming up with collectibles. So now it's not a collectible. It's a position of honor that you can have. Just announced today, Miller High Life might be looking for you. The first ever mayor of the Champagne of Beers region. There's even a sign that says, welcome to the Champagne of Beers region, Wisconsin, up in the Miller Valley. So you could pose for that next day. It's an honorary role celebrating the Milwaukee resident who embodies the spirit and pride that defines the city that High Life calls home. I love how much they lean into this. This accolade is even more significant when you realize in 2021, Milwaukee's Common Council did designate that area around the historic Miller Brewery as the city's Champagne of Beers region. So you know how only champagne can come from that region of France? Only Miller High Life can come from the Valley. And now that that has happened, you can apply to be the mayor of the Champagne of Beers region. And how will it be determined? It says here that applicants will be evaluated based on how well they embody the pride, tradition, and spirit of Miller High Life, as demonstrated through their personal story, passion for the brand, and connection to the Champagne of Beers. And the honorary inaugural mayor will be sworn in during an inauguration ceremony September 19th at the Miller Visitor Center in Miller Valley. So you basically get to have a big old party if you are chosen. I don't know. It says, you know, applicants. So I don't know how much you get to campaign. Let me see here. You can take your place in Miller High Life history. A judging panel, so you don't get voted, you get judged, will evaluate applicants on about how well they embody the spirit. You have to be 25 or older and to become the mayor of the Champagne of Beers region. There is an application page, so go to Miller High Life, search that and apply, and you get your honorary term as mayor of the Champagne of Beers region for 1 year. All right. So, and get this, you get two cases of Miller High Life, dinner for eight people in the Miller Caves in Milwaukee, a couple of Miller High Life t-shirts and hats, and you also get a check made out $2,000 to assist with any taxes that you might get by accepting this prize and the honor of being the mayor of the Champagne of Beers. So again, Miller High Life doing it again, having fun. Go to MillerHighLife.com/mayor if you want to check it out and if you are 25 or older. And if you win, please invite me to your inauguration ceremony on September 19th. I would be glad to raise a high life to you. Wait a minute. In other beer news, I forgot that I had, it's been a beer day. Wisconsin State Fair is 22 days away, and you can now have a very special local beer that is a combination with another local brand. Just announced today in other beer news, Lakefront Brewery and Sills Mini Donuts are creating a beer called Sills Mini Donut Ale, exclusive to the Wisconsin State Fair, the only place you can get it, and sure it pairs well with some famous Sills Mini Donuts. I didn't realize this, that about Sills Mini Donuts, Lars Wicklund is the owner. He named it after his daughter, Sill. But what I didn't realize, he started the mini donuts at 7 Mile Fair like 30 years ago. And I only knew of the North and Oakland stand, which I stood in line like the last day that they were open there on the east side. I'm proud of that. It was good. But if you're wondering what the flavor of Sill's Mini Donut Ale is, brewed with Munich and caramel malts, because remember, Lakefront Brewery's involved, so nothing but the best ingredients there. Subtle additions of cinnamon and vanilla, 5.3% ABV, the flavor of cinnamon sugar, straight from one of Sill's donut stands. You can just, it's going to smell good too, I would think, but there will be a special at the fair, donut and draft fair pair, a bag of fresh mini donuts and a pint of Sill's mini donut ale, and drink them together. And it will be available at, Benno's Lakefront Brewery Beer Garden and the Micro, which is where they had the keg killer. Maybe you can kill a keg of Sills Mini Donut Ale. But Russ Klisch, Lakefront Brewery owner, says partnering with Sills and Benno's to create something that's available only at the fair makes this beer even more special. A very Wisconsin beer. So Wisconsin State Fair, August 6th through the 16th. Circle that on your checklist of things to taste at the Wisconsin State Fair. Sills Mini Donut Ale. And speaking of the Wisconsin State Fair, your chance to win free tickets to the fair and see one of their Bank 5-9 main stage headliners. That's next on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
This is where it ends. That is the sound of Bailey Zimmerman, and he is going to be headlining the Bank 5-9 main stage at the Wisconsin State Fair on Saturday, August 8th, and we are 22 days away from the fair, almost 3 weeks away till the Wisconsin State Fair. That just seems like it's coming up fast. Summer always flies by, and it sure does feel like summer when it's, I'm seeing 91 degrees on my register right now with the sunshine, and I know it's humid and we have the heat advisory. So hydrate. And I hope we don't get this level of heat during the Wisconsin State Fair, because then you don't want to eat everything. Well, then you spend a bunch of time in the expo center. That's not a bad thing. Strolling and shopping, enjoying the air conditioning in there. You know, and that is another one of those choose your adventures. You can spend a whole lot of time a lot of different ways at the Wisconsin State Fair. So looking forward to that. But if you're a music fan, there are so many stages of free music, and they really have a great lineup of headliners. And Bailey Zimmerman, August 8th, Saturday night, is one of those. He is one of country's biggest breakout stars. He's known for his energetic live shows. A lot of his hits are ballads, but I haven't seen him yet, but he supposedly puts on a heck of a performance and has had a lot of hits. Rock in a Hard Place, Religiously, Fall in Love, Where It Ends, and Holy Smokes. And if you've never seen him, they are saying there's a lot of sing-along moments and a lot of high energy. And I think this is going to be one of the big shows at Summerfest. Country music always does well at the Wisconsin State Fair, and a great excuse to spend a day at the fair. Get some cream puffs, get the exhibits, get to the concert that night. And the opener for Bailey Zimmerman is a fellow named Chandler Walters, who plays steel guitar, which that's just a great summertime sound. Outdoor show should be a good one. Lots of talent on that stage. And if you're, we don't have to worry about Bailey Zimmerman being incarcerated. Bless his heart, he did what any young musician might do when you have a head full of steam. Trashed a hotel room in New Mexico. About $16,000. And luckily, last month, those charges have been dropped because Bailey Zimmerman was an upstanding citizen and went, you know what? I shouldn't have done that here. Here's a big old check. And I've learned my lesson. I won't do that again. So we won't get the out of control Bailey Zimmerman. We will get the more mature Bailey Zimmerman, who's singing all those hits. If you would like to see him, get a free pair of tickets to Summerfest and a free pair of tickets to see Bailey Zimmerman in concert at the Bank 5-9 main stage. This is your chance right now. Got tickets to give away all week on What's on Tap. And right now is your chance to be caller number 8 on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line. Caller 8, 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Caller 8 will get a pair of tickets to the Wisconsin State Fair to see Bailey Zimmerman in concert Saturday, August 8th. Good luck. Get to know his music. One of his hits is the song you need to hear next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ. And now, feast your ears. This is the song you need to hear.
Most blokes are going to be playing at 10. These go to 11.
Big congratulations to Raphael in Milwaukee. He won a pair of tickets to see Bailey Zimmerman in concert August 8th on the Bank 5-9 main stage at the Wisconsin State Fair. If you tried, thank you for participating. Guess what? You have more chances to win tomorrow and Thursday here on What's on Tap. If you want to see Bailey Zimmerman and enjoy a day at the Wisconsin State Fair for free on me. Glad to help you with that. And tonight's song you need to hear, get you ready for that Bailey Zimmerman show, is a song called Religiously. It's not a gospel song, actually a heartfelt ballad about loving someone completely and dealing with the heartbreak when that relationship falls apart. Again, places we've all been. But the song became Bailey Zimmerman's second top 20 hit on the Billboard Hot 100. And his album, Religiously, the album, really one of country music's biggest streaming successes. So just a few years after breaking out on social media, Bailey Zimmerman, one of the country's fastest rising stars with multiple number one hits and multi-platinum singles. And this song, he will perform very likely on that set list Saturday, August 8th on the Bank 5-9 main stage at the Wisconsin State Fair. The song you need to hear is Bailey Zimmerman and Religiously on What's on Tap.
Your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max. Sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Thank you for joining me for this second hour of a supersized episode of What's on Tap. Here with you until 9 o'clock and a lot of fun as the summer Gallery Night MKE is approaching on Friday night and Saturday during the day. It's actually, Gallery Night is actually a two-day event, absolutely free for you to gallery hop, stroll all around, and get into maybe some unique spaces you haven't been in before, and revisit some of your favorites in the historic Third Ward, Easttown. There are so many spaces to explore. If you go to gallerynightmke.com, there's an interactive map, and as I like to say, choose your own adventure. You can spend a whole lot of time in one gallery, or pop around to a whole bunch of different ones. But I'm here to help. So one of the galleries that you can go to is the David Barnett Gallery. And I bet you've driven by or been in there because the David Barnett Gallery is one of the oldest, if not the oldest gallery in Wisconsin. And here to share what he has in store for Gallery Night and give us some of the history is David Barnett. Welcome to What's on Tap.
Thank you very much, Sandy. It's a pleasure and an honor to be on your show.
Well, thank you for being here. I was like, oh, David Barnett of David Barnett Gallery. How long has your gallery been open?
60 years.
Congratulations. That's a milestone.
It is, yeah.
And for people who are like, okay, I know I've seen it. Where is it?
It's at the corner of Prospect and State Street.
And what is the name? It's a mansion.
David Barnett Gallery. It's in a 150-year-old Victorian Italianate mansion. The architect was Edward Townsend Mix. And so it cost $30,000 to build in 1875.
Wow. Yeah. But it itself, I would say, is an architectural gem, a work of art.
It really is one of the few remaining masterpieces in the community of Victorian Italianate architecture.
So I would say coming in for Gallery Night itself, that in itself is an experience. What has been your observation when people walk into the David Barnett Gallery and that historic Victorian mansion the first time?
Everybody comes in and they say, is this a museum? And I say, no, everything's for sale, but it is kind of like a museum. But it's way more than what anybody expects because it's really set up kind of like the Louvre Museum, salon style, floor to ceiling, wall to wall. And we have over 6,000 artworks.
Every inch covered with art.
However, with the 6,000 pieces in our collection, there's only room to display 5% at any one time.
Wow. Yeah. That, and what's that rotation like?
Well, we have four major shows a year that coincide with Gallery Weekend. And then, of course, as we sell things, they get replaced.
Makes a little room in the vault. Well, we have so much to chat about, but let's preview Gallery Night MKE.
Okay, great.
What it will be like at David Barnett Gallery, and what do you have planned?
Yeah, so we have a really exciting special show inspired by George Gershwin. And there was a catalog from a museum at the Baker Museum down in Florida. And so a musician brought me the Gershwin catalog, and so that really, really got my juices flowing. And so I decided to do this exhibition called Sounds, Gershwin, Kandinsky, and yours truly, Barnett.
Barnett, what is it about?
I apologize for the third name.
Ah, what is it about George Gershwin that, like you said, got your juices flowing?
So I've always loved music, even though I can't play the piano. But music has influenced me as an artist. I've always listened to music when I paint. And Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue I heard as a child, and it just stuck in my brain. And so when I read this book about the show, I started doing research on that. So the show is going to have three components. One component will be artworks in my collection by artists that George Gershwin collected. And his cousin lived in Paris and was an artist, and he was sending Gershwin photos of artworks that he recommended Gershwin to purchase, which he did. So we'll have artists like Abraham Wachowicz, Picasso, Chagall, and so on.
What an interesting way to showcase other artists through the lens of George Gershwin and his brother's taste.
Definitely. And then the second component is going to be a phenomenal collection of woodcuts that Kandinsky did, who I consider and many people consider to be the first totally abstract artist of the 20th century.
And I was just going to say, I'm looking at you like, that's real history when you say Kandinsky.
Yes, and so these are works that he produced between 1906 and 1912, and it was a collection, a portfolio called Klange, which in German means sounds. And so Kandinsky wrote poetry to go with them, and so we'll have 24 Kandinsky woodcuts, and it's really unusual because Kandinsky wrote about this particular series of woodcuts, and he said that doing these woodcuts influenced his painting style, and it's usually just the opposite. Usually a painter does paintings, and then to expand their market, they'll do etchings or woodcuts or different kinds of prints. But in this case, carving the woodblocks really had an influence, Kandinsky said, on his abstract painting style. And there's in the Bradley Collection at the Mohawk Art Museum, we've got, in my opinion, one of the greatest paintings that Kandinsky ever did, Improvisations. And even in high school, I used to go in there and stare at that painting, and I always said, in high school, I said, well, I would like to have that Kandinsky in the art museum. I would give my right arm for it. But fortunately, I have my right arm.
And I see you have both arms
Kandinsky
right now.
Kandinsky still has the painting. So all is good.
But I love how sound, that this is called Sounds, Gershwin, Kandinsky, and Barnett. And that Klange and just the thoughtfulness of this exhibit. So you've talked about two parts. What's the third part? How does the Barnett get into
okay,
this?
Okay, so the third part is, I've been doing a series for many years because I'm 80 years old and I have 23 different series. But I've been doing what I call my famous artist series for many years, and I've used Kandinsky's black and white woodcuts as a point of departure. And so we made prints of them, and then I do watercolors on them. And so we'll have my artworks. But then beyond that, I had Jake, who works for me. He has a degree from UWM in filmmaking, and he does the video work. So he came out to my studio on Beaver Lake, and he filmed me doing 11 oil pastel drawings, my visual interpretations of Gershwin's music, while Hansel Kunzmann, who teaches piano at the Conservatory of Music, he played these different compositions. And so it was live, you know, and I interpreted the music visually. So I had, like, if it was Gershwin's Prelude, that was a piece maybe a minute and a half. So I had to think very spontaneously and very quickly. And so so we've got 11 of those oil pastel drawings in the show.
In contrast, though, did you do a painting to Rhapsody in Blue, which is not 1 minute?
I'm actually working on one right now, an acrylic based on. I did one of the oil pastels based on Rhapsody in Blue, so that'll be in the show. And then now I'm working on an acrylic, so I'm a little bit behind schedule, so I'm going to be burning the midnight oil
for Friday.
Yes, believe it or not.
You are dedicated to your art. David Barnett of David Barnett Gallery is my guest. Sounds, Gershwin, Kandinsky, and Barnett is the exhibition you can see Friday and Saturday on Gallery Night MKE. Continuing this creative conversation with David Barnett, stay with me on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Welcome back to What's on Tap. I am joined in the studio by David Barnett, owner of David Barnett Gallery. Had to play George Gershwin for you, David.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. In honor of the exhibition Sounds, Gershwin, Kandinsky, and Barnett. And you were just describing, can you summarize for anyone just joining us, the three components of this exhibition?
Yes. The first component is artworks from my inventory by artists that George Gershwin collected. So, for example, Chagall, Kandinsky, Renoir.
Some of those
George
famous
Rouault,
names that people would
Andre
recognize.
Andre Durain, Abraham Wachowicz, and so on and so forth. And the second component is a collection of original woodcuts that Kandinsky did from a series called Klange, which means sounds in German, that he produced between 1906 and 1912. We'll have those. And then the third component is artworks that I've produced based on Kandinsky's music, where I interpret the music visually.
Oh, Gershwin's music.
What did I say?
Kandinsky.
Oh, sorry.
Because you're on Kandinsky prints, though.
Yeah, I'm on
though.
Kandinsky, yeah.
Yeah, so you're combining all
Gershwin's
of this.
Music.
And I'm entertained that when we first started this conversation, I asked you what it feels like when people walk into the David Barnett Gallery, which is in a beautiful mansion, that you said people say it feels like a museum. All of these artist names that you mentioned that are on display at the David Barnett Gallery, that's why it feels like a museum. You really have history in those walls.
A lot of history.
That's magnificent. And the David Barnett Gallery, 60th anniversary.
60 years. I started on December 4th, 1966.
Congratulations, that six decades. I was just going to say, you had to have been 10 years old or 20 years old. So 19 years old, you started an art gallery and you still have it. Did you imagine that at the time?
No, no, no way.
Did you think it was just going to be like, I'll try this out?
Yeah, because I was told by the professor at UWM that when I was 19, I said, I'm going to open a gallery. He said, you're going to fail.
Oh.
And then 10 years later, he came into my gallery. So
with his own artworks?
Yeah, and I bought a couple of pieces from him.
Would he come in and ask you if he remembered that exchange?
He didn't say anything about it, and I didn't bring it up either.
Well, that
but
was
I just thought the fact that he showed up 10 years later, that was enough.
Very interesting that you are an artist yourself,
yes,
but also an art gallery owner and dealing in the business side of things, the economic side of things.
Yeah. So when I started the gallery as a UWM student at 19, my mission was to show the young graduate students' artworks, because in 1966, there were very few galleries, let alone any galleries, that were willing to show unknown young artists, where the prices were so low, even if you sold every work in the show, you'd still lose money. And after 3 years of that, I realized I probably wouldn't survive. So I asked my dad if he'd lend me $4,000, and he did. And I went to New York in the fall of 1968. With his $4,000, and at that time I was buying original etchings signed and numbered by Picasso for $250, bring them back and sell them for $350. I thought I was doing pretty well. Murals.
That's an all right markup.
Original color lithographs by Miro, I was buying for $100, selling for $150. Salvador Dali etchings I was buying for $50. Actually, the most expensive piece I bought in New York at that time was a Kandinsky from the Bauhaus period from 1925, a very rare edition of 50. that I bought for $1,250 and ended up selling it to Sidney Cole, the oldest son of Max Cole, who founded Cole's.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have such history.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So where did this... You obviously have a passion for art and a knowledge for business.
Yeah,
where
so I thought of myself as an artist when I was 6 years old. And my goal was really never to make a lot of money. It was just to live my passion for art and collect art, really. And so I really embarrassed myself over the years because people would come into the gallery and say, oh, I'd like to buy that. How much is that? And then I'd have a panic attack and I'd say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't sell that.
Because it was so expensive?
Which is why I'm my own best customer, which is why I have 6,000 pieces. Which is why now I have a 501c3 called ART, Artist Resource Transnational, with the mission of preserving artists' legacies. Because so many of us, millions of us, what's going to happen to our work? It could end up in a dumpster or end up in someone's basement and never see the light of day. Not that we're going to solve the world's peace problems by any stretch, because it's bigger than all of us together combined, but in some small way, instead of people killing each other or hurting each other over differences in ideologies, if people can start appreciating one another's visual culture and treat each other more humanely and having these works travel around the world, maybe we can help a little bit.
That's a nice, I hesitate to say a nice idea, but that's a really nice sentiment and a meaningful idea. Because art does bring people together, and it's expression. And if you can understand one person's expression, that already creates a bridge that can be positive. Yeah. So ART, Artist Resource Transnational.
And it's a 501c3, so if people want to donate to it, it's tax deductible.
And what's the first project or that you'll tackle with ART?
So we already have several legacy artists that we've got signed up, and so we're expanding that, and now we just have to have people make donations.
ART, Artist
Resource
Transnational. And I'm sure if they stop by at David Barnett Gallery, they will see you and they can ask more all about it.
And they can even buy apparel, which is a tax deduction. So
as I see on your cap.
Thank you for noticing.
I did. He is David Barnett of David Barnett Gallery. And I will let you scoot back out into the night, but give everybody a good invitation to come join you on Friday for gallery night.
5 to 9 p.m. this Friday.
Just that simple. Anything else that will be nibbles or sips or just socializing?
So Heinzel Klinsmann, who teaches piano at the Conservatory of Music, is going to be playing Gershwin's music on the piano. Maybe he'll do a duet with himself because the recording out at my house while I was painting, that's going to be on the video screen at the gallery.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
So a multimedia experience and live music. Oh, it'll be wonderful. David Barnett Gallery, Friday, also on Saturday or just Friday for gallery night?
Friday night, 5 to 9, and Saturday from 11 to 5.
That is wonderful.
And it's free.
Yeah, I was just going to say, exactly. DavidBarnettGallery.com is where to go to keep up with all of the exhibitions and 6,000 paintings in your collection. And again, the address for the beautiful mansion.
1024 East State Street, corner Prospect and State.
I wish you a very happy gallery night. Thank you so much for joining me, David.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Stay with us here on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. And our gallery night preview continues. If you're like, I've heard about gallery night. What is it? It happens about four times a year, every season. This is the summer gallery night, Friday night and Saturday during the day in four different neighborhoods, Easttown, Historic Third Ward, Walker's Point, and even extends out to the Haggerty Museum of Art and the House of Rad. So whatever kind of art you like, whatever style, whatever medium, modern, historic, sculpture, you name it, you can find it on Gallery Night. And GalleryNightMKE.com is where you can check out an interactive map. And I'm here to try to help you pick what you'd like to do. And so this is kind of your Gallery Night MKE guide and preview tonight. And one of my favorite spots in the city, because it is so unique, is the Grohmann Museum on the campus of the Milwaukee School of Engineering, right downtown. And here with me from the Grohmann Museum is Marina. Brnovich. Marina, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
I am glad that you are here. And what is your official title at the Grohmann Museum?
I'm the curator of education and outreach. And I curated our most recent special exhibit, which will be available to view on gallery night.
And it is called We the People. And what is We the People all about?
We the People is a series of portraits of veterans from America in their post-military careers. It's a series of 50 watercolor portraits by an American watercolorist, Mary White. And each portrait represents a different veteran from a different state and really showcases the variety of ways that people contribute to the country even after their service has ended.
And how big are these portraits?
Oh, pretty large scale. It takes up about half of one of our floors.
Wow. And it's been on display since May. And I have to think that some people have been coming by, since it is called We the People and it's America's 250th. Have people been coming by? And
yes.
What's the reception been?
Absolutely. We've been getting a really good response from people, local people, out-of-state people. I was just looking at our guest registry today, and I saw we had a couple from Maryland. We have had some visitors from Indiana recently. It's really cool to see that this is bringing not just Milwaukeeans and Wisconsinites to our museum, but that people around the country are taking note of this show.
And art bringing people together. And remind everybody what the real mission of the Grohmann Museum's collection is.
Yes. So we are an art museum devoted to the art of human achievement. Every painting and sculpture and stained glass window in our collection depicts people at work and other scenes of industry and labor.
So this We the People, portraits of veterans in America, when they've returned and are back in their civilian life, really is a great match for the Grohmann Museum.
Yes, yeah, and Mary White is just a brilliant artist to work with because so much of her art, not just We the People, but her shows prior and shows after this one, are dedicated to working class America. And it's just a beautiful celebration.
How did you discover Mary White's artwork?
I actually was flipping through a Fine Arts America magazine and saw a couple of pieces from her Working South series and thought that they were so captivating that I jotted off a letter and sent it to her address that I found online. And not only did I get a letter back, but I was able to get this show rolling.
Congratulations. I love
Thank
that
you.
It is that, because I keep saying art connects people, and I love that Mary White went, this would be a fine space to display this particular project. And please share with everyone, this blows my mind, that this project has been in the works for more than 7 years, that Mary White interviewed all of these returning military from the 50 states.
Yes, yeah.
Over 7 years. And that doesn't even include, I would assume, the watercolor artworks that she made of each of them.
She spent, I think, 7 years total from the bolt of inspiration of, my next show should look at veterans in America. From that moment to finishing the last watercolor.
Okay.
It took her about 7 years, and that includes the time that she spent traveling across the country, tracking down veterans by asking around, sneaking backstage of a circus, everything.
There are obviously more stories to tell. We're gonna get some of those. She is Marina Brnovich, the curator of We the People, Portraits of Veterans in America, on display now at the Grohmann Museum, and definitely something you will see when you stop by on gallery night on Friday or Saturday. We'll learn more of the stories and some of the portraits. I want to know what the Wisconsin portrait is. Stay with us here on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, getting a gallery night preview. Make your own guide with over 40 different locations on gallery night to choose from, helping you figure out which way you want to go, which galleries you want to hop to. And some of the galleries on Gallery Night are museum galleries, including the Grohmann Museum. And with me is Marina Brnovich from the Grohmann Museum. And you are directly responsible for the exhibition that's on display right now.
Yes, yes. I have to give a little plug to it. I think it's a really fantastic show that highlights America, America at work.
It certainly sounds like it when it's called We the People, and the subject matter of We the People, 50 very large watercolor paintings by an artist named Mary White. And who is in these watercolor paintings?
American veterans. There's 50 portraits. One veteran from each state is represented, creating this beautiful portrait survey of America.
And a real snapshot of life, but not photographs, actual portraits.
Yes, yeah. And one thing that I think is so amazing about Mary White's work is that you might think that, oh, 50 portraits is just 50, you know, paintings of people's faces. But no, there's such a variety. There are some very traditional portraits, some that are action shots and very contemporary. There are some that are, you know, have a realism and precision that you would expect to see in a, you know, a photograph portrait, and then some that are abstracted and very imaginative. It's such a variety, and I think it really reflects the variety within America.
Very interesting observation. And I also think it's interesting, like you said, I guess I would have figured, you know, like Head and Shoulders of all these different veterans returning to their civilian life. But the fact that Mary White spent such time, 7 years on this project, and with each of these individuals that she created a portrait of, we are all individual. Some people are brighter and loud. Some people are reserved and serious, you know, as far as their aura, what they put out and how she, what those essences are, it wouldn't make sense to have them all be uniform.
Right. Yes. You can really tell that she spent time interviewing these people and getting to know who they are as people, not just workers, not just as veterans.
Since you've actually communicated with Mary White and gotten to know her, do you think that is what she wanted to represent in We the People, the fact that we are all individuals?
I think so. I think, you know, Mary White wants to highlight, you know, working America and how at the end of the day, we might have different jobs, but at the end of the day, we all work and we can connect over that satisfaction of a job well done, whether we're a coal miner or a science teacher.
Is there one portrait, since you've been around these portraits now, it's been on display since May 7th, it will be on display through August 23rd. Is there a portrait that you've gravitated to over the past couple of months?
Oh, I really like them all, but I think, you know, I'm Milwaukee born, so I think I have to say that the Wisconsin portrait, rep my home state, and that is of a ferry boat captain. A man named Michael is the captain of the ferry between mainland Wisconsin and Madeline Island, and that portrait called Crossing Over is a very atmospheric portrait of him in his, you know, boat captain's uniform with birds flying overhead. It's very dramatic and kind of makes you think of the Great Lakes as the inland seas.
What an interesting observation. And was he also in the Navy?
Actually, no. He was an Army National Guard specialist.
Because I was just like, yes. I wonder if that's, you know, just kind of a ripple effect from that. But that
yeah,
is.
Every title card we have for the portraits says the name of the portrait, but also the name of the individual and their branch, rank, and years served.
Do you know if he has seen this portrait?
Yes. Yeah, I believe Mary White said that she, during the grand opening for this series, she did bring all of the vets and their families to see the show, not just their specific portrait, but to see how overwhelming it all is when you bring all 50 portraits together.
Wow, that is great. It is called We the People, and it is the portraits of veterans in America after they've returned to civilian life by Mary White. You can see them on display, and we'll find out what else is going on at the Grohmann Museum for Gallery Night on Friday and Saturday. And down the road. Stay with us. She is Marina Brnovich. I am Sandy Mack. Stay with us for more Gallery Night MKE previews on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Mack.
Sharing with you yet another unique exhibition in Milwaukee that you can check out for Milwaukee Gallery Night at the Grohman Museum. You can see 50 watercolor portraits of veterans in America. It's called We the People, Portraits of Veterans in America by Mary White, a project that she worked on for 7 years to capture the essence of these veterans as they return from service. And Marina Brnovich is the curator of this exhibition. And I am so excited that you now know Mary White and that she is excited about having these 50 portraits on display at the Grohman Museum.
Yes. Yeah. And I have to say, we were really grateful to not only showcase her work, but also to have it over the 250th anniversary of our country, to have it this summer in particular was really exciting. And it's quite an honor to have such a beautiful show that highlights America.
Even more meaningful. So you can see this on display. What you said, it takes over nearly the entire floor of the gallery,
yes,
or of the museum.
A little more than half of our the first floor of our. We have three gallery floors, and it's a solid part of the first floor right
sure.
now.
Sure. One, you can stroll and spend time with each of the people. Yes, Wisconsin is represented. And so all 50 states, you can see veterans in all types of work and in all styles of painting. They aren't all just portraits from head to shoulders or, so I love the diversity comes through without being purposeful. Or explicit, if that makes sense. Like, it comes through naturally because
exactly,
all of
yes.
these people are, they're individuals.
Yeah, there's no one style of portrait. There's no one, standard veteran. They're all people. They're all portraits of people.
And when you go on gallery night, you can say hi to the Wisconsin ferry captain, who is his portrait, former Army veteran, or current Army veteran, but former armor service person. So We the People, Portraits of Veterans in America, on display gallery night this weekend and also through August 23rd. And Marina, what else is going on at the Grohman?
Well, tomorrow we're doing a kids' art day, taking inspiration from Mary White and her watercolor portraiture. We're going to set up a station so that kids can come in, explore the show themselves, and then get free reign with some watercolor paper and paints and see what they come up with. This is a program that we've offered in the past. We do different art activities each month during the summer, and it's always a really great time.
It's a chance to beat the heat, get into the air conditioning, but
absolutely.
Truly, the Grohman Museum, the entire collection devoted to artworks of all kinds, paintings, sculptures, and more that depict humans creating, doing work of all kinds throughout the centuries. So it really is this interesting, unique collection and capsule of an art of one theme.
Yes, yeah, it really is one of the most comprehensive collections that celebrates human labor and achievement.
So thank you so much for all that you do at the Grohman Museum, and I wish you a wonderful, happy gallery night on Friday. What's the best way to keep up with everything going on at the Grohman Museum?
Let's see. We do have Facebook and Instagram accounts, but we do have an email list with a frequent newsletter that lets you know what shows are coming in, leaving, as well as other events like our gallery nights and our annual events like our Lost Arts, which is coming up in early October.
Always stuff going on at the Grohman, msoe.edu. And Grohman is spelled with two N's. If you just type it in, though,
yep.
You'll be able to see it. And you do have one of the most spectacular rooftop gardens with all of the massive sculptures portraying people doing everything from welding to hoeing on the outside. So next time you're walking right by, what's the street? What's the corner?
State and Broadway.
There we go, State and Broadway. I would say the next time you're walking down Broadway, just look up, and it's one of my favorite sights with
mine
the dome.
Too.
Very good. Marina Brnovich, thank you very much. Happy gallery night.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And after the 8 o'clock news, stay with me as Milwaukee Ballet Art Director Artistic director Michael Pink joins me to share his thoughts and feelings on the importance and positive impact that philanthropist Donald Baumgartner has had over the decades, and now that he has passed, what his legacy will be in our local creative community. Plus more gallery night previews on the bonus hour of What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, a deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome to this bonus hour of What's on Tap. We will continue to give you a Milwaukee Gallery Night preview with a look at what's happening at VAR Gallery in Walker's Point on Friday and Saturday with an exhibition called Verdant Daydream of Paintings by Michelle Schilling. But I want to start this hour by continuing to remember and enlighten all of us and remind us what a legacy that Donald Baumgartner has left not only Milwaukee, but southeastern Wisconsin. Over the weekend, Donald Baumgartner passed away at the age of 95, and the news was released yesterday morning. It's just continued to ripple through our creative community, and he's a name that you have heard. He and his wife, Donna, for decades have supported the Milwaukee Art Museum, the Florentine Opera, and so many organizations, and one of them in particular, the Baumgartner Center for Dance for the Milwaukee Ballet. Donald and Donna, big supporters and champions of the Milwaukee Ballet. And I didn't get a chance to connect with Milwaukee Ballet Artistic Director Michael Pink yesterday, but he is kind enough to check in with me now and join me. Michael, my condolences to you. I can only imagine what this loss, I feel like we're feeling the loss as a community, but for someone like you who has worked so closely with the Baumgartners, first of all, my condolences to you.
Well, thank you, Sandy. And obviously, yeah, for anything at a time like this, it's family and close friends that we think firstly of, and what a shock this has been. But again, somebody who lived 95 years of excellence and the kind of level of achievement and accomplishment that Donald managed to do is a life more than well lived. And one thing I will say is to a lot of people who get to the end of their years is Donald was to the very end was so lucid and so together. He did this exactly how he wanted, as he did in life. He said, this is what I want to happen. And by God, that's exactly what happened. So he was in charge to the end in a very positive and inspiring way.
Well, Michael, he and Donna were going out and about. They were at the Florentine Opera Company's Pasta and Puccini just a couple of weeks ago and still at other events.
Yeah. I was there, Jane, my wife, and I, we were there. I've always attended that event as long as I can remember as their guest. So for me, I was sat opposite Donald just a few weeks ago. And I will tell you, he was in a very mischievous and cheeky way, which Donald was renowned for. He was slowly topping up Donna's glass, and she looked at him and she said, are you trying to get me tiddly? And he just smiled at her, and that said everything.
Oh, and that is also what charms me, that these are real people. I think sometimes people think of philanthropists, and especially Donna and Donald Baumgartner, who have been so involved in so many high-profile organizations, including mm-hmm. Milwaukee Film, but in such a significant way, and using their means to truly support so many key organizations in our creative culture here, but didn't just write a check and hope that people would say thank you, like wrote the check and then also said, well, we see this vision, we want to have these special events, or we want to have this building, this architecture, and then managed to actively do it and do it with a smile and do it by gaining friends and support for their visionary projects instead of saying,
Donald was a visionary and more importantly, a very, very successful businessman. As we know, paper machinery was one of the leading paper cup manufacturers in the world. So I think, as always, when everyone approached him about investing or considering investing, he was thinking, how will you make that work? How will you capitalize on that? How will it make a difference? He wasn't just giving you money. And one thing I will say, that up until naming the Baumgartner Center for Dance, he was not interested in having his name on things. He didn't feel that was important. And it took quite a lot of persuasion to say, now is the time, Donald. And I'm so pleased that in the end he agreed. And And it makes, it just puts a smile on my face when I think of the moment that I went to Donald and discussed this visionary project for the dance center. And really, I felt like I was talking to a close friend about this visionary idea. And he said, you're going to need a lead gift because all of these campaigns need somebody to tell everybody else in the community, this is a serious proposition and we should get behind it. And I said, he said, how much are you talking about? And I said, X amount. And he said, oh, no, we can do much better than that. And consequently, came up with the $10 million gift, which was the lead gift for the Baumgartner Center for Dance. And more importantly, he wanted to see that money as really a lot of it used as an endowment for the building. So he said, what's the point of us building these buildings if we can't keep them and operating and open? So again, thinking ahead, being inspirational, being a leader. And those are all the things I loved about Donald. But ultimately, he was a very down-to-earth, genuinely warm man who just loved beauty, things of beauty, whether it was watches, shoes, clothes, the opera, paintings, music. You could see that he was genuinely inspired by these things, as indeed so is Donna. And Donna really was the constant link with the ballet. And but they were together. They were such a happy couple together, always smiling at each other. You very rarely saw them without the other. And so I think all of that is a wonderful memories for the community to know that here was a man who really believed he could be an inspiration and he could make a difference. And I think his gifts, and their gifts, should I say, were they chose to share their generosity in countless ways. But I think ultimately, I would like to think he would want to know that he and Donna have been an inspiration to the whole next generation of philanthropic people who can make a difference and need to make a difference in our community, because that's the way things work. That's the way things work in America in particular.
And Michael, that is one of the reasons that I really do want to share the story of Donald Baumgartner and his wonderful wife, Donna, and together what a positive impact they have had, because I'm hoping it does inspire others to say, I can do that as well. Maybe not to the $10 million check level at this point in my career, but every little bit counts, and to join in those visionary ambitions to enhance our creative culture. Talking with our Milwaukee Ballet Artistic Director, Michael Pink, as we remember local philanthropist Donald Baumgartner. Michael, I'd love to continue this chat in just a couple of minutes and find out a little bit more about specifically the Milwaukee Ballet's relationship with Donald Baumgartner. Are you good with that?
Of course.
Stay with us here on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Back and doing something important. Donald Baumgartner passed away over the weekend, and he was a highly impactful individual who was able to inspire other people to share his passion and visionary ambitions to continue to fortify our creative community here in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. Donald Baumgartner passed away at age 95 over the weekend, and he and his wife Donna really have left such a legacy and made such an impact on a variety of organizations: Milwaukee Art Museum, Milwaukee Film, Florentine Opera Company, Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra. The list goes on. And one of the most important organizations on that list is the Milwaukee Ballet. And Milwaukee Ballet Artistic Director Michael Pink joins me in remembering. And Michael, you were just telling us about his cheekiness, even at age 95, while still enjoying the opera and social events. These are not people that were ever slowing down in their 90s. And I have to kind of think that is because they've been so involved and engaged in all the creative fields and getting energy from that.
Yeah, I think you're right. But to some degree, you know, if you are a person, people refer to Donald as a bon vivant, a raconteur, a daredevil, a visionary. If you look through his life, and you can read the book that Kurt Chandler wrote about him, which is The Wind at His Back, you will find out he was the kind of man who would take risks, live life to the full, So the idea that just because his body was growing older, etc., he was not going to give in to that. And I witnessed that. He was attending performances. Yes, he was in a wheelchair. It was difficult for him to move, but that was smiling. He was happy to be there. And just for him to escape into the moment of sitting in the Baumgartner Center for Dance in our studio theater, in the front row, within feet from the dancers, you could see it was inspiring him. It was lighting his mind up. He was just seeing beauty and motion moving around. And the relationship with the ballet has really been this is Donna's big passion project. And Donald was such a beneficiary of being able to come to every performance. And he commented a lot about the raising of standards. And that's very important for a successful business person, is to see that the products they're producing and the way that they're presenting themselves is elevated to a high-class level. And he was very complimentary to me, very much about my vision for the company and what I was doing with the company and how it had changed. And so you could see he was truly enjoying the success that he was helping us to achieve, and through Donna's incredible devotion and continued devotion to the ballet in particular.
Well, Michael, as the artistic director at the Milwaukee Ballet now for over 20 years, it had to feel good for you, for your big creative visions like Dracula and Peter Pan and reimagining the Nutcracker, to have someone like that go, yes, go, think big, fulfill your yes, creative dreams. Yes. I mean, that's I think that would be very significant for you.
Absolutely. And I will say that Donald was kept some extraordinary company of people who all have stepped up, certainly to look after the symphony orchestra and the repertory theatre and the museum in particular. And there's this whole incredible group of people who have made the commitment to our community, not just the artistic side of the cultural side of our community, but in every other way. And so it was reassuring to know that Donald and Donna opened their beautiful house in River Hills many, many times to events, primarily to connect people with each other and to move things forward, and to know that we can all talk about it's not just one organization that's needed. It's all of the organizations in the community that need to rise together, because that's our cultural identity. And the groundbreaking work that he did on the projects of the Baumgartner Center for Dance, but also, most importantly, of the Calatrava, is really something that's changed the city. It's put the city in a place where its profile is being raised at a national, even an international level. That's somebody who says, I remember him talking about Calatrava, where there was the budget was going up and up and up and up, and everybody was going, no, we've got to stop this. And he said, no, if we're going to build this, we're going to build it to the vision of Santiago Calatrava. And if that's going to cost more money, then I'm going to raise the money. We're going to raise the money, because there's no point in having an amazing vision and a picture if you can't achieve that. So, and my goodness, I think we're all grateful to him for doing that, because look at the end result. And I feel the same way with what we put on stage at the ballet. And I know other groups who he's been generous to support feel the benefit of an opportunity to excel.
And I think when you say raising of standards, when you talk about Donald Baumgartner, and those are the examples I was thinking of as well, the Milwaukee Art Museum with the Calatrava and the Burke Breeze du Soleil wings now that are truly a part of our city skyline, that it seems like Donald and Donna see Milwaukee as world class and won't let anybody else see our creative community here anything less than world class.
And that's what he built. That's what he built with paper machinery. He built a unique company that operated around the world. And again, anybody who knows Donald, and the moment that he announced to all of his workers who was taking over the company, you can imagine those poor workers were there thinking, we've been bought out by X. And they pulled back the curtain and it said, you are now the owners of this organization. The ESOP he gave the company to he and his son, John, gave the company to the employees. That tells you everything you need to know about a man who builds something. And when I first went to the factory, he said, most of these employees, including John, his son, have lived and worked their entire adult life in this facility. The facility was there was not an ounce of dust on the floor. He'd had murals painted around the walls so that they were an inspiration. You didn't know whether you were in Italy or France or somewhere else in the world. You didn't think you were in Milwaukee, but his pride in what he had achieved and his caring about his employees, and they were. He said they were like a family to him, and you could see every evidence of that. So just an amazing man, and truly behind every amazing man is an amazing woman, and that is Donna. She is quite an extraordinary lady who I think also gave him the hunger to go off on some safaris and climb mountains and do daredevil things. She was the adventurer that really drove him on to experience the world. I don't think there was a continent in the world that they didn't visit. It really, truly, and bring back the most amazing pictures and stories. Everything with humility. Nothing ever felt like bragging. And he once said, you know, the beauty of having money is you can really make a difference, and you can invest and buy things that, yes, most other people would never be able to buy. He said, but that's just a small part of the pleasure of being successful and being able to share your success.
What a wonderful legacy that the Baumgartners are leaving our city and so many organizations, and similarly to the company that he left to the employees, allowing people to continue to grow even after they're finished on this earth. So what an inspiration. Michael Pink, yeah. Milwaukee Ballet Artistic Director, thank you for spending some time with me. And again, my condolences to you on this difficult week, but I'm sure you can find the rays of light in all the positivity that he's leaving behind.
Sandy, it's a celebration. We must celebrate Donald. And just in closing, just remember all of these gifts that he gave to us were gifts that encouraged us and almost made us to say, we now take responsibility for this. And now in his memory, we will all continue to take responsibility for all the wonderful things that he has been a part of creating.
I was saying again, we hope that the Baumgartners inspire the next generation of creative lovers and enthusiasts who see continued success for our region creatively. So thanks again, Michael Pink. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and thanks for the time together and your memories.
And Sandy, thank you as always for doing this. It's very important. Thank you.
Truly my pleasure. Stay with us for more on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Handcrafted, homegrown, world-class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. And one of the best things about Milwaukee, every season we have Gallery Night, MKE. And the Summer Gallery Night is just days away, Friday night and Saturday, 40 different locations. But then some of those locations have multiple artists. There's a lot you can do. You can visit one gallery or hop to a whole bunch in Walker's Point, Easttown, Historic Third Ward, you name it. GalleryNightMKE.com is the website to plan your own path, and give you a preview of what's happening at VAR Gallery. Introduce yourselves. We'll start with you, kind sir.
I am Josh Hintz. I am the owner and director of VAR Gallery.
I figured you would know a little something about what's going on. Just and you have brought an artist with you. Introduce yourself.
Hi, yeah. My name is Michelle Schilling. My show is currently up at VAR Gallery right now. It's called Verdant Daydream. It's a collection of paintings and, you know, mixed media works that are, you know, inspired by a lot of, you know, plants and wildflowers and Wisconsin woodland areas.
So inspired by your surroundings.
Yes. I like to, you know, kind of focus on like those small moments in nature and, you know, just kind of focusing on, you know, taking moments to slow down and really like look at your surroundings.
And you're a local artist.
Yes. Yeah. I live in Milwaukee.
Did you grow up in Wisconsin?
I did. I grew up in Neenah, Wisconsin. So yeah, I definitely grew up with a love of nature, being around so many amazing like natural spaces. And Milwaukee has such a great variety of natural spaces to visit.
What are some of your favorite spaces in our city area that you like to visit?
I'd say my favorite is Grant Park. It's beautiful and also South Shore Park is one of my favorites as well.
Sure. I'm familiar with both of those. I was saying, when you say Grant Park, I think of the Bluffs immediately and Seven Bridges. And and South Shore feels very social, but you've got the great city skyline as well.
And there's a lot of wildflowers that pop up when you walk along the lake. And also Humboldt Park, too. That's also a favorite.
This is good. I love that you can just list about it. Like, and I thought of another one. Hold on, wait. I thought of another one. So how does it feel to have this exhibition when you walk into Var Gallery and see your artwork? How many pieces are on the walls?
There's quite a few, I'd say. I believe there's over 20 pieces. But, yeah, I just kind of wanted it to be, you know, a collection of, like, natural spaces and enjoying those moments and just kind of adding little magical moments in those paintings too for viewers.
Well, and you say verdant daydream. I imagine that you thought quite some time for the right title, or did the title just come to you?
It was a little bit of both. That was the first one that came to mind, and I came up with a huge list of titles, but it's one of those things, sometimes the first thing you think of is the best thing.
What does verdant mean to you in an artistic sense? You can define it for everyone as vocabulary, but then what does it mean in a deeper way to you?
Yeah, so verdant is just a very, you know, intense green. Like, for me, it's just like a very green feeling, like being kind of immersed in a green space. That's what it means to me and how I want, you know, that feeling to be conveyed.
And then the daydream, you talk about little parts of magic in your artwork. I feel like that's where that comes in.
It does. Kind of a dreamy take on those spaces and kind of making them feel a little bit more, you know, atmospheric and, yeah, just adding fun little moments.
And you're not a painter. You actually are what I would say, as also you describe, a mixed media painter. So talk about, like, one of the artworks that is on display and maybe the process that you did to create it.
Yeah, so I use a lot of various mediums, like in my works, a lot of thread to create kind of lines. But I also, for the show, created some ones that I had crocheted. So I kind of created a surface, like with acrylic on the crochet, and painted on that. So that was kind of a fun new thing to experiment with. And I feel like some of the coolest moments in art happen when you're just trying new things to see what happens. And and then you can, just enjoy that process.
I would say the creative process. Yes. But it's funny that you say that. I'm thinking of the muralist, Mauricio Ramirez, who just did the 10-story tall portrait of Bob Uecker on the wall. And that he was talking about that is when he is happiest, is when he's creating. That it's coming together. So it doesn't necessarily surprise me that you're like, that's where the magic happens. That's where I feel good, where it's coming together.
Yeah, and I think it's cool, too, if people can see the fun that the artist has had, like, making the work as well and kind of catching on to, you know, some of those little moments in the work that, you know, or, you know, seeing how other people resonate with certain little magical moments in pieces is just really cool to see.
She is Michelle Schilling, artist of Verdant Daydream, the collection that is on exhibition now at Var Gallery. And we'll talk more about what to expect on gallery night on Friday and Saturday at Var Gallery. So stay with us for this Milwaukee Gallery Night preview on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Getting ready, getting you ready for Gallery Night MKE. The summer edition is on Friday and Saturday during the day at over 40 different locations around the city for you to discover new artwork, meet an artist, and pop in some neighborhood spot that you've always been meaning to go or just haven't been in a while. It's a great reason to get out and about and even find some air conditioning. Var Gallery has some of that air conditioning and Verdant Daydream, the exhibition from local artist Michelle Schilling. So what's going to be happening on Friday at Gallery Night, Josh? Josh Hintz, owner of Var Gallery.
Well, as you mentioned, we're going to be chilling in the AC and enjoying the sweet paintings that Michelle's painted for us. I'll be in my usual position behind the bar, slinging some nice cold drinks.
socializing.
Yeah.
That is another benefit. Many of the establishments will truly make it a social time and want you to sip and chat and get to know the artwork.
And yeah, that's always kind of been one of the warming parts of our gallery. You know, you can come in and hang out and have a drink and literally just be there and be present. So,
how many gallery nights has Var Gallery been a part of now?
Gallery nights, I don't know.
They're 4 years, so there's, you rack them up there.
So times 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 12 years worth of gallery nights.
I would say, and congratulations, that's a dozen. That's a good long time to have an art gallery.
Yeah, yeah, and I've been behind the bar the whole time.
And Josh, what kind of art does Var Gallery specialize in or look for to share with the world?
I like to think that we have a really robust collection of artists, including Michelle, that very much so spans the genres, whether it's painting, photography, neon. We go full spectrum, basically. There's always something that you can find, you can connect with at VAR.
And Josh and Michelle, how did the two of you meet? How did you connect?
Yeah, so I remember meeting Josh at MIAD when I still went to school at Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. I think you came in for a studio visit, and then I ended up getting a studio at VAR in 2017, and I've been there ever since.
Yeah, I was out scoping for new talent.
What was it about Michelle's artwork at that stage in her creative journey that spoke to you, and how has her artwork changed to the Verdant Daydream exhibition?
This is fun. What do I like about Michelle?
Or her art. You have to pick on the person herself.
Well, no, I think that was honestly one of the big things for me, is that Michelle is just so honest about, you know, what she likes in her work, and it comes through in her paintings. She chases what she wants and doesn't really concern herself with, you know, other opinions, or, you know, she just really enjoys what she does, and the work is quality, you know, that adds to it. But yeah.
That strong artistic vision is what I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I found a path I liked and I stayed on it and just kind of expanded on, like, my thought process from, you know, way back when I was still in, you know, college. Like, I feel like it's just kind of grown within, you know, a similar category. And I've just kind of, like, expanded what those elements can do in the paintings.
Michelle, did going to art school like MIAD help you figure out your artistic vision? Or did you have it before that and then school gave you the tools to achieve that?
I'd say, you know, I think it was a little bit of both. I feel like, you know, everyone has their own, you know, artistic, like, interests, like, just, you know, as people. And I do feel like going to MIAD and, you know, learning from the amazing, like, professors there, like, it really did help me to find my direction and what felt right for me. And I feel like that really helped me to, you know, make things for me and really, like, figure out what I want to do and to make those works.
Oh, if it expresses what you really want to express, and in finding those moments in nature, congratulations. But it takes a long time, I think, for people to build that confidence in any walk of life. But for an artist to go, okay, this is what I see. And for Josh, for you to say, I see that too.
Yeah, and that's nice to hear too, that, like, the growth I've made has been seen too. Because I feel like, you know, you're never just in one space when you're, like, making art, you know, it develops, it grows, like, year after year. And it's just cool to see that, you know, in my own work and in all the artists I've seen, you know, around the city. And it's just really cool to see.
VAR Gallery, one of the stops to make on Milwaukee Gallery Night Friday or Saturday during the day. And we'll talk more with artist Michelle Schilling and VAR Gallery owner Josh Hintz. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Getting excited for Gallery Night MKE, the summer edition, Friday and Saturday during the day. absolutely free all over the city, 40 different locations. And one of those locations is VAR Gallery in Walker's Point. Josh, what's the exact address for VAR Gallery?
643 South 2nd Street.
There you go, South 2nd Street. What's that intersection?
2nd and Pierce.
Aha, I was just going to say, is that 2nd and Pierce?
It is.
Not even knowing my numbers. Josh Hintz is the owner of VAR Gallery and delightfully bringing us Michelle Schilling's artwork in an exhibition called Verdant Daydream. And Michelle, you've been sharing with us that you're inspired by nature, Wisconsin artist here, grew up in Neenah, went to MIAD, and now here in Milwaukee, and that you find so many Milwaukee spaces, green spaces, inspiring, like Grant Park and Humboldt Park and South Shore Park. So you're finding these moments of inspiration in the city, yet in green spaces in the city. Tell us about one of the maybe signature pieces in Verdant Daydream. Kind of walk us through what it looks like, because we are on the radio, but what it looks like, maybe what color some of the color schemes are and what your process has been to create it.
So I think one of the pieces that I want to talk about is the yellow trout lily painting I did. So that one is, trout lilies are a native like Wisconsin plant that pop up at the beginning of spring. So they're kind of one of those first like indicators of spring. And like walking around, you know, parks around the city and, you know, taking photos of those, it's just very inspiring to see those kind of like pops of color amongst the dead leaves and just kind of that like new growth. It's very inspiring. And that painting, you know, it kind of shows those like dried dead leaves in the background and then those like pops of the yellow trout lilies over those leaves. And trout lilies, they're known for, you know, their leaves being kind of like mottled color, like actual trouts, and that's hence their name. But yeah, they're just a very, you know, inspiring flower that you can find around the city in the very early spring.
Is that one of those paintings that you embellished with yarn or thread or other textures?
Yeah, so that one also has thread, and I kind of use the thread to kind of create separate spaces in it by, like, you know, darkening the things that are within those spaces with the thread. And the thread kind of, you know, just reminds me of, you know, like plant roots, and it's just like, it creates kind of a structure, but still feels organic, which I think is just really cool to, you know, experiment with. And, you know, kind of like I've ingrained that in my practice, which has been fun.
Organic is a great phrase. Artist Michelle Schilling, see Verdant Daydream on exhibition now at VAR Gallery. If you can't get there on Friday or Saturday for Milwaukee Gallery Night, on display till August 15th. And then Josh, do you have any other plans you'd like to reveal here on WTMJ?
We always have plans.
Of course. Yes, but can you reveal them? Are they secret?
No, the name I'm about to say is very familiar to Milwaukee. Jay Arpin is a local printmaker, and he's going to be opening his show. We don't even have the title yet. But
ooh, see, it is fresh news.
Yeah, it is very fresh. That'll open on August 21st.
Exciting. You're always bringing the arts to life at VAR Gallery.
We try.
And what's the best way to keep up with other happenings at VAR Gallery?
Honestly, follow us on Instagram. You can subscribe to our email list, all the above. And I'm being flagged to remind everyone that we are having some very special event happening on September 5th.
Ooh, someone's listening and texting you. This is good. What's happening at September 5th then?
We're having our first ever end of summer party, and this is for everyone. So
we like a party.
Come on in.
Yeah.
I'm going to be grilling out front. We'll have drinks, neon demos, all the above.
Art brings people together. Yeah. VAR Gallery, V-A-R Gallery. Follow them on Instagram and get to their website. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Michelle, for being here. And I wish you each a very happy gallery night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay with us here on What's on Tap on WTMJ.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Thanks a bunch for hanging out with me on What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. And a big thank you to all of my guests, Tony Nichols, owner of Akwe Nguvu Gallery, also David Barnett, owner of David Barnett Gallery, and Marina Brnovich, curator at the Grohman Museum, and also Josh Hintz and Michelle Schilling of VAR Gallery. Wonderful to speak with all of these creatives who are bringing Gallery Night MKE to life on Friday and Saturday. And also a special thank you to Milwaukee Ballet Artistic Director Michael Pink for spending time with me to remember local philanthropist Donald Baumgartner, who has left just such a positive legacy in our arts community and for our city overall. So thanks to all my guests. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night as well. You have more chances to win Bailey Zimmerman tickets when he performs August 8th at the Wisconsin State Fair. We'll have more Gallery Night previews and also a preview of next week's Milwaukee Night Market. So keeping you entertained, updated to make the most of your Wisconsin summer. And stay cool. Turn up the air conditioning. I'll meet you back here at 6 o'clock for What's on Tap.